The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Ezra Stone stars as Henry in an episode of The Aldridge Family from 1939. We'll also enjoy a segment of Incredible But True and Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, a segment of Incredible But True and Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Right now, Ezra Stone stars as Henry in an episode of The Aldridge Family from 1939 as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
By Clifford Goldsmith, featuring the Broadway stars Ezra Stone and this week's special guest, Betty Field. Brought to you by Jell-O Puddings, those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. The Aldridge Family arrived on Broadway this week in the hilarious, successful Paramount picture, What a Life. It's truly a four-bell movie, and we urge you all to see it. Tonight, we are pleased to present one of the stars of the motion picture, Miss Betty Field, who will play Barbara Pearson, Henry's sweetheart. As usual, the part of Henry Aldridge is played by Ezra Stone. The scene opens in Barbara's home. It is early evening.
Just a minute, and I'll ask
you, Father. No, he hasn't, Barbara.
First time this week he hasn't been here.
Father, could you come here a minute?
Where are you?
I'm here in the front hall.
Well, well, what is it this time, Barbara?
Now listen, Father. Yeah? I don't want Grandmother to hear me.
Why don't you want me to?
Oh, no reason. Father.
Yes?
When Henry comes, would you do something for me?
Well, what is it?
I know it's awful, but I've got it all planned. I found out today Henry is seeing an awful lot of Constance Marshall.
Who told you?
Constance herself did.
I see.
But, Father, I've even seen them together.
Charles, where's that box of candy we had around here last night?
I haven't any idea.
Father, when Henry does come, would you mind stepping into the room just once or twice and saying George Bigelow wants to speak to me on the telephone?
Well,
You will, Father, won't you?
I'm just a bit surprised, Barbara.
But Father, it wouldn't be so terrible, would it? Don't you think I'm human?
Barbara, I still think it'd be much better if you got your grandmother mixed up in this.
But, Daddy, Grandmother wouldn't approve of it. You know she wouldn't.
And exactly what makes you think I do?
It's for Henry's own good, Father. Constance Marshall is so silly.
Barbara, young ladies don't go about deliberately making young men jealous.
Oh, but they do. I beg to differ with you.
Well, sir, I'd give my eye teeth for a piece of that candy. Still had my teeth. Charles, somebody's at the front door.
Please say yes, Father.
Well, I'll think it over.
That's practically yes. Tell Henry I'll be right down.
Well, how do you do, young man?
How do you do, Mr. Pearson? How are you this evening?
Splendid.
And how is Mrs. Sanderson?
She's splendid.
No, she's not either. My digestion's terrible.
Is that you in there, Mrs. Sanderson?
Charles, tell Barbara Henry's here. I've been asking all evening where Henry is.
Has she?
No, I haven't either, Grandmother.
I had to stop for a second and see somebody on the way over, Barbara.
Oh.
Oh, do you want to put your hat in that package down?
I'll put my hat down, but I think I'll keep the package.
Don't you trust us, Henry?
Oh, I don't mind holding it. It only weighs 2 pounds.
What's in it?
Oh, just a little something. Well, Mr. Pearson, how do you find business?
Very good, Henry.
You know, my father was saying...
Will you excuse me just a moment, Henry?
That's all right.
Henry, I went over to my doctor's today.
Is that right?
And I can't eat one blessed thing.
Is that right?
And I can't remember when I went to sleep last.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Well.
Here's a package for you. Be careful when you take it. It weighs 2 pounds.
Oh, you shouldn't have done this, Henry.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
All right. Who did you drop in to see on your way over, Henry?
Nobody in particular.
It wasn't Constance Marshall, was it?
Well, all she wanted me to do was drop in and say hello.
Oh, she's a nice girl.
Barbara?
Yes, Father?
You're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
It sounded like George Bigelow.
George Bigelow? Again? Oh, will you excuse me, Henry?
Sure.
You mean you're going without opening it?
I'll be right back.
Certainly strange. I didn't hear that phone ring.
Mrs. Sanderson, did Mr. Pearson say George Bigelow?
He did.
George Bigelow. Tell me, what do you honestly think of George?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't think of him at all.
Oh.
What do you think of him?
Oh, you can't get me to say anything against him.
Very honorable of you. You know, I said to Barbara only the other day, young lady, I said, I hope you appreciate what kind of a young man Henry Aldrich really is.
Is that right?
Oh, my, yes.
And what did she say?
I forget now.
Oh.
Well, I certainly hope George doesn't call again.
George fine?
He's very fine.
Glad to hear that.
Certainly wish I could say as much about myself.
Don't you think you'd feel better if you went up to bed, Grandmother?
When are you going to open that candy?
I'm opening it. Candy, Grandmother?
Well, just two.
Candy, Henry?
Oh, I didn't even know you were there. Thank you.
Very good. Even if they do have nuts.
Shall we step out onto the front porch, Barbara?
No. I'll go out there and catch pneumonia right at the prime of your lives.
Well, couldn't Barbara put on a coat, maybe?
Oh, Barbara...
Yes, Father?
Telephone. I think it's George Bigelow again.
My goodness. I guess he just thinks I don't have anything else to do. Excuse me, Henry.
I must be getting deaf. Henry, do you hear any phone ring?
No, ma'am.
What's the matter with you?
With I?
Whatever it is. Why don't you do something about it?
Well, what is there I can do?
Well, it's worth having. Worth having, ain't it?
You mean I ought to pound the daylights out of George?
Well, he's out of him or out of Barbara.
How?
Well, anything you can lay your hands on. That reminds me. Hand me that candy.
But gee, if Barbara likes George, I don't see how socking him is going to help any.
Well, certainly make you feel better, won't it?
Even if he's older than I am?
Listen, young man. I used to be as pretty as any of them in my day, and I know all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, did you used to fight?
When the occasion demanded it, yes. Hey... Are these all caramels?
No, ma'am.
Now, let me tell you something. If you want to make her sit up and take notice, only way to do is to make her jealous.
You mean, when she comes into the room, I don't pay any attention to her. I just sit and talk to you.
Well, is that the way they do it in the movies?
You mean I should make her think I like somebody else?
No, I'm telling you, not as a grandmother, but as one soldier to another. Get busy and get busy quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Here. Want to eat the half of this one? Got nuts in it.
My goodness. George Bigelow. He wants to give me his class pin. Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, I'm late as it is.
Where are you going?
No place. I just told Connie when I dropped in I'd be right back.
Oh. I'm sorry I didn't tell George he could come over.
No, why don't you call him back?
Well, of course. Maybe I will.
If his phone ain't wore out.
Henry, what's that you're putting on the lapel of your coat?
Nothing. Just a pin of Connie's she asked me to wear.
Where'd she get it?
Her mother had it first. It's an old family heirloom.
Let me see what it says. Vote the temp Democratic ticket.
Yeah, the whole family comes from a long line of Democrats.
Oh. I'm sorry you have to go, Henry.
Well, maybe I can stay.
I'm telling you, Henry Aldrich, you're making the mistake of your life.
But, well...
But, Grandmother, I don't think we should force him to go.
Henry?
Well, I guess I have to go, Barbara. Mm. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
I don't suppose we'll see very much of you from now on, will we?
Why not? Oh, yeah. I guess as time goes on, you won't.
Hmm.
Well...
Barbara, you're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
You better go to George.
It's Constance Marshall. She's over at somebody's house and wants you to come over.
Is that right?
Oh, I'll answer it in just a minute.
Who is this Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall is nothing but an NTS.
What's an NTS?
NTS is necktie straightener. Every boy she meets, she has to straighten right away.
Charles, who is Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall's father is one of the most active Republicans in this state.
Is that right?
I think I'll be going.
I know what you're going to do, Henry Aldrich. You're not going to Connie's house at all.
But I am.
Oh, no, you aren't. You're really going to some other girl's house. I hope whoever she is, you have an awful time there.
But listen...
No, I won't. I hate you, Henry Aldrich.
Young man, get out of this house.
But Mrs. Sanderson...
And don't you ever darken this doorway again. With chocolates filled with nuts and raisins. Get out!
Yes, ma'am. Hiya, Constance.
Where are you going?
No place, just to the grocery store.
Henry Aldridge, look at your necktie.
I know it's crooked. I wear my tie like that purposely.
Please let Constance help you.
Not so tight. Do you want to strangle me?
How do you do, Henry Aldridge?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, young lady?
Where are you going?
I'm going to the doctor's.
Would you like to have me walk along part way with you?
Oh, do you have to go now, Henry?
Gee, I'm late as it is.
Tell you what I wish you'd do, Henry. Stay right where you are.
Here?
Yes, sir. Barbara will be along just a minute or so. Wish you'd tell her where I've gone.
But my mother's waiting for the groceries.
Do you want Barbara to walk the streets of this town looking for me? Now, you stay right here, as I tell you to. And you, young lady, you stay here and see he does.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Sanderson.
And you tell her if I'm out at the doctor's, I'll be right across the street in there getting a bag of candy.
Henry Aldridge, look at your hair.
Listen, Constance.
You know, you could be one of the cutest boys I've ever known.
Cute? I'm cute? How do you think I'm cute?
Oh, Henry, you've got the cutest lock of hair right up there.
What's the matter with it?
Every time I push it down, it goes right up. Look at it. Down, up, down, up.
How do you do, Henry?
Where did you come from, Barbara?
No place.
Your grandmother wanted me to tell you she's going to the doctor's.
I know where she is.
Oh, well, what did she want us to wait here and tell you for?
I should like to add, Henry Aldrich, that you are certainly making a spectacle of yourself out here in the street.
I am?
No self-respecting person would have his hair combed by a girl right out in public.
Listen, Barbara, I'll have you know I'll have my hair combed wherever I want.
And what George Bigelow said about you is absolutely true.
What did he say about me?
Never mind. He said... I hope sometime he tells you what he said.
Well, what do you know about that? Gee, was anybody think I'd struck her?
Henry, if I were you, I'd never speak to her again.
Well, I hope you don't think I'm going to speak to her again.
Henry, would you like to come over to my house tonight?
Gee whiz, I'd be glad to. I'd be glad to. I think it would do me good.
Now, before Henry Aldrich comes back, I want to say that if you happen to have an active, growing boy in your family, I know one thing. I know that you're kept plenty busy feeding that boy, because youngsters that age are always hungry, always on the lookout for something good to eat. Well, now, here's a dessert that every boy, and girl too, will say is a real smoothie. The new Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding. It has a swell, tempting color like gold-colored taffy. It's smooth and luscious, and it just can't be beat for real flavor. as rich and delicious as old-fashioned butterscotch candy. Jell-O butterscotch puddings bring you real, downright homemade goodness. And best of all, it's quick and easy to make. It takes you only a few minutes. There's no fuss or trouble. You just can't go wrong. Then try Jell-O chocolate pudding with that wonderful real chocolate goodness, smooth and satisfying. And Jell-O vanilla pudding, cream-colored and tempting, with nuts or fruits folded in to make it even more delicious. All three new Jell-O puddings have that homemade richness you love. So try them all. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding. Back at the Aldrich home, we find the whole family seated at the breakfast table. Everyone, that is, except Henry.
Henry! 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 Mary, do you know whether Henry's up yet?
He said he was getting up the first time you called.
Father!
What is it?
Father, will you please tell Mary that if she sees Connie Marshall go by to flag her...
Aren't you all dressed yet, Henry?
Practically, Mother.
My goodness, all Henry can think about is Constance Marshall.
How is it he never sees Barbara Pearson anymore?
Her grandmother won't let him near the house.
What's the trouble?
I don't know, except she said something about his going too far over something. And did I tell you about the picture I found under Henry's pillow?
Of whom? Barbara's grandmother?
Of Connie Marshall. And down in the corner it said... Constance to others, but constantly to Henry. Doesn't that make you positively ill, Mother?
Please pass the salt.
This whole business is something I shall never understand.
Oh, forget it. By next week, he'll be over the whole thing.
Mother!
Yes, Henry?
Have you any idea where my trousers might be?
I thought you were all dressed.
I am, Father. All but my trousers. They seem to be missing.
Where did you wear them last?
I think it was when I went to the movies.
Don't tell me you left your trousers at the movies.
Mary. Wear your brown trousers, dear.
My brown trousers? But Mother Connie doesn't like those.
She even tells them what clothes to wear. The next thing you know, they'll be announcing their engagement.
It may be of interest for you to know that this is not one bit funny.
But, Mother, I think it would be all right with Constance.
How do you know?
I heard her tell Henry only the other day that she believes in long engagements.
Well, this would have to be a good long one because Henry still has a year and a half of high school and 6 years of college before he even begins to practice law.
She may even talk him out of becoming a lawyer.
Mary, you certainly are cheerful this morning.
Mother, look out through the window. Look at what I see.
Constance Marshall.
Constance Marshall?
She even comes here for breakfast now.
Well, they selected a very excellent name for that child.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
I wondered whether you'd like to have me walk to school with you.
Come on in, Constance.
I guess you know my father, don't you?
How do you do?
How do you do?
My goodness, Mr. Aldridge, you look like Henry.
I?
Only, of course, an awful lot older.
Yes.
Shall we start now, Constance?
Has Henry left yet?
Not yet.
Where is he?
We have no idea where he is.
You mean, Mr. Aldridge, Henry has left home?
Apparently, he has.
Constance, Henry's upstairs.
We only think he's upstairs. No one in the family has seen him. We have simply heard sounds that might have come from Henry.
Henry! Henry!
You see? What did I tell you?
Is somebody calling me?
There's somebody down here to see you.
Who is it, Mother?
Oh, somebody.
You mean to see me?
Yes.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Stinky Cameron. Hi, Stinky.
Henry.
I'll be down just as soon as I find my pants.
Henry, it's not Stinky, and even if it were, I don't think you should call him that.
He doesn't mind. No, you're Stinky.
Henry.
Father, Tomka, come on up and help me find my pants.
Henry, you're disgracing the entire family.
In fact, it might interest you to know that Constance is down here.
Yeah? So's General Grant.
Hello, Henry.
Well, gee whiz, where did you come from, Connie?
Home.
Well, why didn't anybody tell me? I'll be right down.
Henry, have you got your trousers off?
Oh, no, I'm glad you spoke about that. Excuse me.
You better be starting, Constance.
Oh, we've got loads of time, Mary.
Not unless you want to be as late as Henry is. Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Mr. Aldridge.
Goodbye. Charming young woman.
Oh, my goodness, Sam, I hope he'll get over it.
You must remember, however, that someday somebody is going to marry that young woman.
But it certainly isn't going to be Henry.
It would be just our luck to have it be Henry.
Wait for me, Mary! Wait for me!
They've left, Henry.
They've left without me?
Well, of course.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Come back here and eat your breakfast.
But, Mother, do you want me to run right on top of a hearty meal?
I want you to come back to this table.
Where did you find your trousers?
That's the strangest part of it. I found them on a chair in my room.
On a chair?
Yeah.
Henry, where did you meet this Constance?
I was a fine young tour.
Henry, don't you think you should swallow your food before you talk?
Yes, Mother. I'll answer you in just a minute, Father. Here, I was assigned next to her.
In what way?
My seat. My seat in assembly.
Oh, I see.
Why were you asking?
I was just wondering, what does her father do?
He's an exterminator.
He's a what?
Just a minute. He's an exterminator.
An exterminator?
No matter what you have, even if it's rats, you call him and he'll get rid of them.
Henry.
That's right, Mother. He'll get rid of any kind of pest there is.
He has never shown any disfavor toward his daughter?
Don't you like Constance?
Henry, in the past, your father and I have always permitted you to know anyone you wanted to. But somehow we don't care for this Connie.
Why not, Mother?
Well, putting it bluntly, you're much too nice for her.
Oh, Mother, don't be absurd. Well, until she came along, I didn't care how I looked. Now look at me. Remember that bunch of hair that always used to stand up? Now I keep it calmed down.
And to tell you the truth, I miss that lock of hair. I miss it very much.
You don't think I look improved?
Oh, Henry, dear, when are you coming to your senses?
In what way, Mother?
Well, for 1 week now, you haven't touched your homework. You can't eat your meals.
Well,
you...
I don't need food.
Whatever became of Barbara Pearson?
Barbara Pearson?
Of course.
She was all right when I was young, Mother.
You grew old 7 days ago?
I certainly changed since then.
In what way, aside from putting Vaseline on your hair?
In a lot of ways, Father.
Well, just remember, son, we wouldn't have you lose your head for anything. Is that clear?
Yes, Father.
Now I'll run on to school.
Yes, sir. Only you've got the wrong idea about Constance.
I'm quite sure one of us has.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So long.
Sam Aldrich, I'm worried sick.
Oh, Alice, you're worrying about something that's absurd.
Sam, I didn't want to say anything about it before. I usually don't read anything that belongs to Henry, but I picked up a note Constance wrote him, and Sam, she isn't his kind.
Well, why didn't you tell me there was more to it?
Well, what I want to know is what we should do.
Give him some castor oil and send him to bed.
Well, that's what I thought you'd say. I know what I am going to do.
What?
I'm going to handle this the way the psychologists say a parent should.
Now, Alice, if I were you, I wouldn't start fooling around with psychology at a time like this.
But it's common sense, Sam. If we forbid his seeing the girl, it's simply a challenge. So the thing for us to do is to tell him that he may see her just as much as he wants to.
Which is what he's doing anyhow.
But we should invite her to dinner, Sam.
Invite her here to dinner?
Well, of course. If he sees enough of her, he'll grow tired of her.
You hope he will.
I'm sure he will. And on next Saturday night, we're having her and some of his other friends here for dinner.
Hiya, Connie.
Henry. Henry, do you like my dress?
Yeah, it's very pretty. I've got to see who's at the door.
Oh, I let them in. It was George Bigelow and some other girl.
Oh.
Henry, let Connie straighten your tie.
You always yank it so tight. The other night, I had to go to sleep with it on.
Oh. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Aldrich?
How do you do, Constance? We're very glad you could come.
How do you do?
You'll find my family in the living room. Papa has to leave early.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He's got to go on a big job for somebody.
You don't say so.
This is the third time he's been there. He just nicely gets them out, and they always come back.
Sam, come along.
Henry, wait and talk to Connie.
Yeah, I've got to go and see my guests.
Are they more important than poor little I?
No, but I ought to go in and say hello to them.
Henry, look at me. Oh, you've got the bluest eyes Connie has ever seen in her life.
Yeah? Oh. Excuse me for interrupting.
Oh.
Got something in your eye, Henry? Gee whiz, Mrs. Sanderson.
Hello, Henry.
Henry, you didn't tell me Barbara was coming.
No.
Well, I understood this party was for me. I'm going in the other room and tell your mother what I think of it, Henry Aldrich.
Henry, I know I shouldn't have come.
even if your mother did say I should.
But I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to have both of you.
No, I'm not staying. I just came to make sure she got here. Where's your mother?
In the next room.
I'll just slip in, say hello. See whether maybe there's a little candy around.
Well, I see Constance has been fixing your tie again.
How can you tell?
It looks so nice. Doesn't look like you.
No?
When I came in, she was just going to straighten your eyes for you, I guess. Wasn't she?
Listen, Barbara, please.
Henry, would you mind very much if I went home?
Henry, aren't you going to come in and join your guests?
Yes, Father, we're coming.
George Bigelow says he hasn't even seen you.
George Bigelow? Henry, I can't go in there.
Why not?
Because I can't. Please let me go, Henry.
But I want you to stay.
Henry, I've got to tell you. Those telephone calls I had from George, they weren't from George at all.
Well, who were they from?
Nobody. I just did it to make you jealous.
Was that your grandmother's idea?
No. It was mine. Wasn't it ridiculous?
Barbara, come in here. They got cakes with every kind of icing you can think of.
No.
Henry, your mother wants you.
I'll be there.
She wants you now, right away.
Yeah, but can't she wait a second?
No. Now then, young lady, if you want Henry Aldridge, you will stay here where you can keep an eye on him.
I'm not going to stay.
You want to upset me even more than I already am?
I can't help it. I'm going home.
Barbara, wait.
No.
Oh, you've got to come in, dear. It wouldn't be a party without you.
Why not?
For any number of reasons.
But look at my eyes. They're a sight.
Tears, my dear, only make you prettier. I know from experience.
Do you really think so?
I've been thinking about that party. And you said I didn't understand psychology.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said you were taking a gamble.
Just think we won't have to worry about that awful Constance Marshall or the idea of Henry's ever giving up law or getting engaged before he leaves high school.
Oh, yes, sure. Things usually work out for the best.
Provided
naturally.
You give him a little assistance. By the way, have you heard Henry come in yet?
Don't believe I have.
Oh, my goodness, what time is it?
It's, by the clock on the bureau, it's 2:50.
Sam Aldrich, Henry has never stayed out this late before in his life.
I thought you weren't going to worry anymore.
Oh!
Henry, is that you?
Yes.
Where have you been, Henry?
No place. I just walked home with Barbara, and then I had to wait until her grandmother went to bed.
Come in here and say goodnight to us.
I want to thank you for the swell party. Barbara said she had a very nice time.
Sit down here on the edge of the bed.
Henry, you're sitting right on my ankle.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't know it was there.
Where did you think it would be?
Henry, move your head over toward the light from the door.
What for?
Oh, Henry, I could almost cry.
Why?
That old lock of hair. It's standing straight up again.
Yeah. She lets me wear my necktie so I can breathe, too. Mother, would you mind my asking right from the shoulder?
What, dear?
Well, would you and Father be disappointed if I didn't study 6 years to become a lawyer?
Why not?
Oh, no particular reason, Father. I was just asking.
Henry Aldrich, you aren't thinking of getting married, are you?
Oh, no, Mother, no. We think you should wait until you're at least through high school. Don't you?
Well, Alice, you certainly understand psychology.
Ladies and gentlemen, once there was a husband who was very fussy about his desserts. He liked puddings, but only the kind of puddings that his wife made for him. Well, of course, it's a lot of work to make good puddings, so this man's wife decided to play a little trick on him. What happened? Well, the wife who wrote us about this is right here in person, Mrs. Florence C., who lives at 25 Hillside Avenue, Washington Heights, New York City. Here's your letter, Mrs. C. Would you read us the rest of what you wrote, please?
Certainly, Mr. Von Zell. I decided to try Jell-O chocolate pudding. It only took me a few minutes to whisk it up, and when supper time came, there it was, a big bowl full of rich, creamy, smooth chocolate pudding. Well, my husband came right back for the second helping. Said it was the most delicious pudding I had ever made. So then I told him about it, told him that I had used the new Jell-O chocolate pudding. He had to admit it surely was a success, every bit as delicious as the old-fashioned kind.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. C. And ladies, that is the way to make a hit with your husband, too. For the new Jell-O puddings have that real old-fashioned goodness. Creamy, smooth, full-flavored, and tempting. But they're far quicker and easier to make. There are three delicious Jell-O puddings to choose from. Rich chocolate, mellow butterscotch, and creamy, delicate vanilla. Yes, you like all three new Jell-O puddings. Real old-fashioned puddings made a new-fashioned way. So try them tomorrow.
Barbara?
Yes, Henry?
Are you sure your grandmother's going to bed?
Thank heavens she has.
Well, do you mind my asking you something?
What is it, Henry?
Would you like to go to a football game with me Saturday?
Of course I would, Henry.
If you go, Henry, I'll give you the money to get a seat for me.
Well, Grandma's in again, but be sure to tune in again next week for further adventures of Henry Aldrich. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Tonight's special guest was Betty Field, star of the stage and screenplay What a Life. And she'll be back with us again next week. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. Harry Von Zell speaking and wishing you good night for those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. Jell-O pudding.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio with an episode of The Aldrich Family, first broadcast on radio on October 10th, 1939. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. But first, here's an episode of Incredible But True entitled The Dusk is Deceptive, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
It was during the latter days of the First World War. The cavalry troops under the command of Captain David Nolan had rendered valuable service in a score of crucial battles. They had been under fire for weeks on end, and now they were retiring behind the lines for a rest they had fully earned. The long column of horsemen moved slowly, wearily through the twilight. At their head rode Captain Nolan and two other officers. They were discussing how they intended to spend their leave.
You men can celebrate all you like. The only thing I want to do is to sleep.
Each man to his own taste, Digby. Mine happen to run toward wine, women, and song.
That sounds much more attractive to me.
In the state I'm in, I couldn't even think of... Good Lord.
Captain Nolan broke off abruptly in the middle of a sentence. For it was just at that moment that he saw the phantom horseman. They were clad in white, on white steeds, and they rode in a straight, silent column, paralleling the line of the captain's own men, not more than a dozen yards away. So swiftly did they move, and so soundlessly, that their horses' hooves seemed scarcely to be touching the ground. And the column did not end. It went on and on, one ghostly figure following another through the gathering dusk. Captain Nolan's first impulse was to turn to his fellow officers to call their attention to the amazing vision. But then he thought better of it, so he rode on in silence. For some reason, the men beside him had grown silent too. But a few moments later, while the captain's eyes were still fastened on the incredible cavalcade, Lieutenant Digby said suddenly,
"You may have something there after all, Captain. I could stand a good night's rest myself."
Nolan turned sharply and peered into Digby's face, as though he was seeking something there.
"What made you change your mind?"
"Oh, I don't know. I suppose I'm more tired than I thought."
"It seemed to hit you rather abruptly."
"Yes. Yes, it did, didn't it, Captain?"
And that was all the lieutenant would say. Once again, silence fell among the three men. But this time, it was short-lived. For after another moment or so, Lieutenant Wayne blurted out violently, almost hysterically,
"I can't stand this any longer. You see them, so does Digby. We're not dreaming, and we're not just tired either. That column of carrymen is really there. If it weren't, why should all three of us be watching it?"
Yes, each of the three officers had seen the column at the same moment, and each had remained silent for fear of making himself look ridiculous. Night descended swiftly now, and the phantom horsemen were blotted from view. But at the next town, Captain Nolan sent back a searching party. They returned with the inevitable answer. No other cavalry troops were in the vicinity. None could have been. And yet, afterward, Captain Nolan and Lieutenants Digby and Wayne, all men of unquestionable integrity, were willing to swear that they had seen the same identical vision. A vision incredible but true.
Ladies, you're not getting nearly as much soap as you need because the soap makers aren't getting nearly as much fat as they need. Please help supply the fats needed to make soap. Save and sell every ounce of used kitchen fat. Your grocer will pay you 4 cents a pound. So don't waste fat.
Everybody at your dinner table will pass their plates for seconds when you serve the new Kraft dinner. I mean the new Kraft dinner. Delicious macaroni and cheese. Fluffy light with real satisfying cheese flavor through and through it. It's a delight to folks who hanker for cheese these days. And, of course, with Kraft dinner, you make this marvelous macaroni and cheese in just 7 minutes cooking time. You see, each package of Kraft dinner gives you the special macaroni that gets tender and light just in boiling water. Never any heavy, starchy taste with Kraft dinner macaroni. The box also gives you a big, generous packet of golden Kraft grated. It puts really swell cheese flavor through and through that macaroni in a jiffy. So try the new Kraft dinner tomorrow. You'd better get several packages so you'll have some on the pantry shelf.
And now, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Mary Foster Lord is extremely upset by the decision of her father, Henry Foster, to play a golf match with John Redmond, the winner to publish the loser's paper for a week. Well, today is the day of the match. Mary is washing the breakfast dishes as Henry enters and says,
"Well, any sign of Doc Nelson yet, Mary?"
"Nope."
"Well, he said he'd be here about this time to drive me out the club."
"I haven't seen him or heard from him this morning."
"Well, he'll most likely be along in a minute or two. You're going out with us, ain't you?"
"Nope."
"Oh, but I thought you'd planned to watch us play."
"No, I've changed my mind. In the first place, there's nobody to stay with the children. And even if there were, I doubt very much if I'd want to watch you go through such a silly procedure."
"Silly? You mean the game itself?"
"I mean the conditions under which you're playing John Redmond are silly."
"Well, now see here, child, we've been all through that. There's no need to go through it all again."
"I was merely answering your question."
"Well, don't mention it again, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. Oh, there's Doc now. I'll be back right after the game."
"All right. Good luck. He's going to lose today."
"Is anybody home?"
"Well, Mrs. Darby, come on in. Come on in and sit down."
"Hello, Mary."
"Oh, this is so nice. I haven't seen you for weeks." "How are you?"
"Very well for an old lady."
"Old lady. Oh, just listen to her."
"Well, not getting any younger, my dear. I'd have called in before this, but I've been up to my ears, literally, in housework. Della and I really went over that house with a fine-tooth comb."
"Oh, I'll bet you did."
"Otherwise, there's nothing interesting to report. How's everything with the Fosters?"
"Oh, just about the same. I suppose you know that Dad has taken up golf."
"Yes, isn't that a scream? Say, what's all this I hear about his playing John Redmond, this agreement about the newspapers? Is the winner really going to take over the loser's paper?
Uh-huh. Oh, Mrs. Darby, I'm so worried about it. If Dad wins, of course, he won't do anything about Redmond's paper, but just let Redmond get his hands on the Sentinel and see what happens.
Yes, I can imagine. What ever possessed Henry to get into a deal like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Usually he's so level-headed.
Well, he certainly wasn't this time.
Well, has he any chance of beating Redmond? He beat him before, I understand.
Well, no, Mrs. Darby, he didn't really. Huh? If Amelia hadn't picked up Redmond's ball and substituted a wooden ball, Dad never would have won. That's why he agreed to play Redmond again. To give him a square deal, as he put it.
Yes, that's your father all over, Mary. He's one of the most honorable men in his dealings I ever knew. He'll go miles out of his way to make certain the other person is satisfied.
But just the same, he needn't have agreed to play Redmond again. He could have called the whole thing off. As for beating Redmond today, well, I doubt that he can. As a matter of fact, we should be getting some word shortly now.
He may win. I wouldn't make up my mind that he's going to lose. That won't help. You're tired, aren't you, dear?
Tired? No, I don't think so. I haven't done anything to get tired.
Your nerves seem to be a little bit on edge.
Well, maybe. You know, Mrs. Darby, I think the answer would be for me to take a place of my own. Hmm. Oh, of course, I think the world of Dad, and I'd do anything for him, but lately he's been getting more and more set in his ways. For example, he has some very definite ideas about how Jimmy should be brought up, and if I don't go according to those ideas, I hear about it.
And you don't go according to those ideas, hmm?
Not all of them, no.
I can understand that you wouldn't. I probably wouldn't myself. The whole thing is, Mary, you should go out and get yourself a nice husband. Oh, you're still young, very attractive. You'd find it would make a world of difference in your outlook on life.
Mrs. Darby, don't forget, I have a son and a stepson to consider.
All the more reason.
A man doesn't always want to assume the care and responsibility of another man's children.
Oh, true enough. But occasionally you find a man who's a perfect saint in that respect. I know you've broken your engagement to Fred Hunt, but have you given up all idea of marrying him?
Pretty much. I'm just afraid it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Then what about young Dr. Nelson? He seems to be awfully nice.
Oh, he is. He's very nice. But Bill seems more like a brother to me than anything else. Not to mention the fact that Sandra has some very definite ideas in regard to marrying him.
Oh, how does he feel about that?
No, I'm not sure, but I don't think he takes it too seriously. No, all in all, I guess I'll go right along as I'm going.
You never can tell about those things, Mary. First thing you know, some nice man might come along and you'd fall in love with each other, get married, and be very happy.
Oh, it could happen, of course, but...
Well, meanwhile, I hope you'll think it over well before you decide to move out and leave your father. He needs you here, Mary.
No, I know he does. Otherwise, I'd have taken the children and found a place of my own a long time ago. Well, here's Dad now.
Oh, hello, Henry.
Oh, hello. Hello, Edna. Glad to see you.
You don't need to tell me how the game came out. I can tell by your expression.
Yep. Redmond beat me. No doubt at all about that this time. He trimmed me good and proper.
Well, somebody has to lose, Henry. Although I'm sorry you didn't win, naturally.
I just couldn't seem to hit anything right today. Whereas Redmond was doing good. Yeah, I guess you was right, Mary. I never should have let myself get tangled up with him in another match.
Too bad you didn't realize that before, darling. However, that's that.
Well, I figured I had a pretty good chance to beat him.
I see he's not losing any time crowing over his win.
What? Oh. What in blazes is he calling here at this house for?
What I just said, crowing.
I think I'll be going alone.
Oh, no, please don't, Mrs. Darby. You don't have to go on John Redmond's account.
Come in.
Well, how do you feel now, Henry? Guess I showed you a thing or two today, didn't I, huh?
All right. Get it out of your system, Redmond.
Couldn't do much today, could you, without Amelia out there to pick up my ball and cheat for you? Oh, hello, Edna.
Hello.
And Mary, didn't notice you at first. Kind of dark coming in out of the bright sunlight. No, sir, he couldn't do much without Amelia to chief for him.
Now, you hark to me, Redmond. There ain't no call for you to walk into my house and talk that way. So you better be on your way right now.
Sure, I'll go in a minute. Just wanted to make sure you understand I'm going to take over the Sentinel next week, Henry.
I understand.
Good thing you do. I'll have my own crew come over and tend to getting the paper out.
Your crew?
That's what I said.
Oh, Dad, that's absurd.
It's more than that. Now, you just hold your horses, Redmond, because no crew of yours is coming in here. There's nothing in the contract that says I got to submit to that.
You'd better read that contract again, hadn't you? It states that the winner has the complete say with regard to the loser's paper. That means I'll send over my crew, and it also means I don't want any of your crew around.
Now, Mr. Redmond, look here. That isn't fair. You can't make Dad take that.
Can't, eh? You just wait and see if I can't.
If you think for 1 minute, Redmond, that I'd let your gang of thugs loose in my press room without being there myself to see what they was doing, you're crazier than a half-witted hoot owl.
They tell me you're an honorable man, Henry, and that you'll live up to the letter of a contract. Remember, it says the complete say. Complete. Good day to you, folks.
John certainly a sweet sort of person, isn't he?
Isn't he, though? Dad, you can't let him get away with that. Why, I wouldn't put it past him to attempt to put you out of business by ruining the press.
I wouldn't be at all surprised, but that's what he's got in mind. Still and all, Mary, he's right. It says the complete say.
Oh, good night. Darling, don't you understand that there's a limit to how far you can let that man go? It's fine to be honorable about a contract, but you don't have to lean over backwards in being honorable. Don't you dare let him put a crew out there.
Oh, I'd say Mary was absolutely right, Henry. For goodness sake, use your reason.
Well, I'll think it over.
What is there to think over?
The terms of the contract. I guess I better go get washed up now. I'll see you later on, Edna.
Yes, goodbye, Henry.
Honestly, if he lets Redmond get away with a thing like this, I'll just be plain wild. When the man mentioned it, I could hardly contain myself. Who does he think he is, anyway?
John Redmond. It's too bad this had to happen, Mary, but now that it has happened, the only thing for you to do is to make the best of it.
Well, I'm not going to have that crew over here. I don't care if the Sentinel is Dad's paper and not mine. I won't have it. It's as I said before, if Redmond could ruin the press and put Dad out of business, he'd do it in a minute.
Well, you've got a couple of days yet, Mary. Probably your father will think better of his noble resolve, if that's the way he feels now, and obviously it is.
Well, he'd better.
But if he doesn't, perhaps we can figure out something. In any event, don't let it worry you to death. Now, I must be going.
Mrs. Darby, I'm awfully glad you called in. And I didn't mean to explode like that in front of you. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't apologize, my dear. I'd have reacted the same way in your place. Maybe I'll have a talk with Henry.
Oh, would you? I'm sure he'd listen to you.
Let's see how he'll feel about it tomorrow. Meanwhile, I wouldn't say too much to him, Mary. Let him think it over.
Well, I'll try not to. But if he's not sensible, I will move out of this house and move out in a hurry, too.
Can Edna do anything to straighten out this trouble? With Henry determined to live up to his agreement with John Redmond, and Mary equally determined to leave home if he does? Be sure to listen to the unexpected developments in the next dramatic chapter of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter. Do you know that you can buy yourself and your family 132 tall, tinkling glasses of refreshment for only 35 cents? Yes, ma'am, that's the price of a half-pound package of Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea. And what iced tea it makes. You see, Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea isn't ordinary tea. It's just exactly what its name says it is. Tea that is specially blended to give you extra good iced tea. Yes, Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea is a secret blend of Ceylon and India teas. And this fine tea makes extra special iced tea on two counts. First of all, it retains its wonderful flavor, that good, full-bodied tea flavor, after it has been iced. And besides that, Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea retains its deep, rich tea color after icing, too. You'll be proud to serve Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea to your family and guests because it looks so good and tastes so good. Get Kroger's Special Blend for iced tea. A half-pound package costs only 35 cents.
In a distant space,
fleet of pixies by the silvery old grand. Strolled a couple out one evening, was two sweethearts hand in hand. Was rich man's pretty daughter and the lad she loved so dear, though tomorrow they must part for many years. My heart's tonight in Texas, though I'm far across the sea. The band is playing Dixie, and that's where I long to be. Dad says, girl, I'll marry, but although here is my hand, my heart's tonight in Texas by the silvery old grand. She went away next morning, and her heart was true to Jack. Well, a letter came one day, and this it read: my heart's tonight in Texas, though I'm far across the sea. The band is playing Dixie, and that's where I long to be. Dad says, Earl, I'll marry, but although here is my hand, my heart's tonight in Texas by the silvery old grand. At a stately ball in England stood the Texas lad one night. The scenes were a splendid and the lights were dizzling bright. Sir Earl knelt beside her, asking her to be his bride, but her thoughts were by the silvery old grand. My heart's tonight in Texas, though I'm far across the sea. The band is playing Dixie, and that's where I long to be. Dad says, sir, I'll marry, but although here is my hand, my heart's tonight in Texas by the silvery old grand.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with the Carter Family and My Heart's Tonight in Texas from 1934. We also heard an episode of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter, and a segment of Incredible But True. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.